Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 74 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight, we are talking about sharing the find. I am your host, XPunkX, with
Montu Rider
and Daryl W4.
If you want to participate in our show tonight, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room and participate with other listeners who are in our chat room. And that chat room can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Click the right Join Now to Participate button, and you can be in our chat room. We also have a voicemail line. If you can't join us live, our number is 206-350-3GPS, and on Twitter, twitter.com/GCPodcast. And again, don't forget the new starting time of 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And welcome, guys. Welcome back. It's another Tuesday. It's another chance to have our geocaching podcast. Montu, what have you been up to?
No, not much here. I'm getting back to that broken record again, unfortunately. Too hot for caching. So I coaxed my wife into being interviewed for the Cache Maniacs. I guess we're kind of starting a family tradition. Also worked on the listing for our third annual Starkey Park Geo event, which is going to be GC1G988, set for December 28th. Still too early to release the listing, though, so the reviewer has told me. And I still have a few more touches to add, but if anyone is heading to Florida for the winter months, would love to have you drop in for the event. This morning, I had to get up early and on the road early, thanks to presidential hopeful Mr. McCain. He was in town today, and you know how those politicians are. They love to tie up the traffic in the morning. How about you, Daryl?
Well, I had the chance to finally participate in my first 12 of 12 on Friday. And people can check that out on my Flickr set, which I'm posting to the chat room now, or it will be in the show link. And that was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing another one. And we actually had a couple of photos of us interviewing Jodster in that set. So that was kind of fun. And rest of the weekend, we just kind of stayed in recording interviews and editing shows for Cache Maniacs. Got dumped on by rain, so it wouldn't have been nice to go out anyhow. So, you know, didn't really miss going out too much. But I really need to go out and go caching because we're stuck at 1699 finds. So we're one away from our 1700th find. Now, Andy, I know that you started your new job. Any cool happenings there?
Well, not really. I started this week doing the 12 to 8:30 shift. So it's, you know, I drive home and start the podcast right now. So it's interesting. I kind of like it. I like being available in the morning. You know, hanging out with the kids and stuff like that. It's not too bad. I miss being home over supper time, but you know, it's a job, and it's in IT. I'm liking it. I'm just getting used to taking all of these calls. There's a lot of calls. Friday I took about 40 calls over my 8-hour period, and so that's quite a bit to get used to that volume of calls. But I really do like it, and it's kind of my alley. So really, I've got no time to cash here. And like Daryl said, it was a raining huge time here with Ike over the weekend. So you know, we didn't really have a time to cache this weekend. However, we're going camping this next weekend, so I know you know I'm taking my GPS with me there. So yeah, it's not really been doing a whole lot of caching, but I'm looking forward to getting out this weekend and to do some of that. So well, with speaking of caching, we've got some stuff related to caching in our news section. Montu, can you tell us about that?
I'd be more than happy to. We have a couple of updates on the Colorado and Oregon lines. Garmin Colorado updated 2.7 from the 2.5, Colorado's 2.7 and Oregon's 2.5, both released on September 11. The Colorado changes from version 2.6 to 2.7 improved the accuracy of the altimeter for large altitude changes, fixed the text writing on top of itself in some geocache descriptions, fixed the freeze when loading some geocache descriptions, issues with power off, pressure trending, added support for the downloading geocaches written using GroundSpeak version 1.1 extensions, improved map drawing performance in some situations, fixed the 3D view not showing detail from supplemental maps, fixed the waypoint and geocache symbols not updating on the map after being changed, issues where the Colorado would temporarily stop responding after a spell search, fix issues with elevation over time plot, fix issue with position format not saving over power cycles, and fix issues with the display of selecting location config field. For the Oregon, going from version 2.4 to 2.5, fix the issue with the barometric pressure, tide station data, and elevation over time plot.
Thanks, Montu, for that update on the Colorado and the Oregon. If you have either of those units, make sure that you connect it to the website and get the downloads and updates for that. Like I said earlier in our show, tonight we are going to be talking about sharing the find. What do you do when you find a geocache? I know that most people just simply log it, but there are so many other ways out there that you can share, especially with the services today that connect us with so many different people around the world and on the internet. We've got so many friends. I know just with this podcast, we've got so many people who follow us and listen to us. And so, you know, to share even with these people that are involved in our podcast, when I find a cache is an awesome thing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And the most simplest way, simplest way that you can do this is with the photos that are on geocaching.com where you can upload your photos. Montu and Daryl, I know that when we started out doing this, I took a lot of pictures with caches and I uploaded a lot of those. I find that I don't do that so much anymore. What do you guys, do this? Do you guys not do this? What do you like about it?
Well, I tend to not do a whole lot of photos, especially with the caches, because I'm a little bit afraid of putting out spoiler information. You know, if it's a really cool hide, sometimes I'll take a photo of it, but I usually won't post that to geocaching.com, you know, because if it's right there on the cache page, it makes it a little too easy to kind of cheat.
I do the pictures. I'll usually take a group photo near the cache site, trying not to get the actual cache location in the shot. Then I do take, for my own records, a shot of the cache site itself, where I had where the container was, both before I removed the camouflage and after. And those last two shots I normally do not post to the website, but I do have them. Especially for when we teach geocaching to our youth group. That way I can give them an idea as to what they're looking at. But there, when they're seeing it, they have no idea which cache it is. So it's not giving them any ideas other than what they need to be looking for when they're out there. So on the page, it's usually just pictures of the group and you know, shots, maybe something we saw along the way. If we saw deer or something like that, I'll upload that as well.
Well, that's one of my favorite things to post to geocaching.com, too, are some of those really unique locations that you might find that people might not have the chance to see if they're out caching on their own, trying to get the cache and get back to the car. So,
yeah.
You know, I like to do a lot of those, and obviously any kind of, you know, virtuals or earth caches that require a photo, you got to kind of post those to there, too.
Yeah, I like to do the same type of thing as you guys do. If there's something near the cache location, like if it's a great view, I'll post that. If it's something that's obviously not going to give away the location, like when we went to the Captain McCary's vault. We posted a picture of the sunrise. We posted a picture of the actual vault itself, but we didn't post anywhere a picture of where the cache actually was. And a lot of times I'll do other things too, like if I have a picture of my boys with the cache, maybe, but not at the exact cache location, or you know, if it's just a bunch of wood, they're not going to be able to tell where that's at just by the picture. But yeah, I definitely don't want to give away too much information in my pictures. So as far as on GC.com, Daryl, I know that you're a huge fan of Flickr. That's I guess another way we can do this too. How do you use Flickr with your Flickr and other websites like Flickr where you can post pictures too? And what are the advantages of doing that as opposed to on the actual groundspeakgeocaching.com website?
Yeah, well, you know, Flickr is great just because it is such a large community. You know, it's really a community-oriented site. So for those of us looking for more of that community aspect, it's a great opportunity to share photos with millions and millions of people. Not that any of my photos have millions of views or anything, but yeah, there's a ton of other services out there too, including like SmugMug, Picasa, Zoomer, and the list just goes on and on. Even like Facebook actually supports photos, and it's a great way to tell stories. You know, whether it's even just a single photo of a really, really cool cache container. And there's even a group on Flickr that's just, you know, really good cache containers. You don't necessarily want to post too much information about the cache, so it helps to separate the spoiler information that way. You know, unless you have like geotagging turned on, in which case, you know, it kind of blows it. But it gives you an idea of some really good cache containers if you want to go back and get some ideas for yourself. But one of the things that I really want to try doing starting January 1st is I want to take my camera with me every time I go out and get some photos of something while we're caching. And not necessarily the cache, but the scenery, you know, the cool happenings in and around it. Just so that I have a story of my year in geocaching, kind of like what we had in my 12 for 12. But I want to do it more from the perspective of geocaching and over the course of a year.
Sure. Yeah, I would say I've never posted my pictures from my caching trips to Flickr or something like that. But then again, I don't usually post a whole lot of my pictures anyway. Just on geocaching.com, I do see the advantages, like you said, having, you know, where you can post more of the actual container because the picture isn't necessarily connected with a cache log. So that's where it comes in handy, where you can post pictures of containers without the actual cache log. And I could definitely see that as an advantage.
Well, the other thing it allows you to do is through those sets, you know, if you're going to go and create a story with your images, you can put it all together in a set really easily, give it a little bit of description, put it into the slideshow, and boom, you have the story of your day of caching. So if you're looking to put together a little story of, you know, here's our, you know, exploration of such and such park or our power caching trip, it gives you a good, easy way to do that and share it with your friends and families who might not even be geocachers.
Sure. And the next thing, which, I mean, as being a podcaster and loving audio and stuff like that, you know, I love being able to talk to people. If you can't tell, I love telling stories. I love to be able to talk to people about my experiences. The next thing that we found as a good way to share is Utters, and that's UTTERZ.com. And what that basically is that allows you to do multiple things, actually. An Utter is, and actually, I think Steph and Dan in our chat room just reminded me that he loves Utters, and I think he actually was the one that actually told me about putting their Utters in their log. What an Utter basically is it can be several different things. It can be video, it can be audio, and it can be just text, and that can be posted from via, I believe, email, but you can also do it straight from your phone if your phone has a camera or takes a video, or you can call it into a phone number and create an audio like that. And one of the great things about that is you can tell your story in your own words. Like, you could say, you know, on your cache log, TFTC, and then link to this udder and have it tell it in your own words. One of the caches that I did that on was one that I was going out to find in a first to find, and I moved some metal pipes around, and I actually found a mouse that ran out and actually scared me. And so I went ahead and posted that, and I know that the people, at least the cache owner, who had commented about that and said that they loved the fact that I posted the audio, everyone can hear it in my own words, what I said. Daryl Montu, have you guys ever done this? What do you think about it?
Well, I haven't used udders. I've actually played around with doing some recording myself and sending it to like a podcaster or to our podcast to play. But the nice thing about udders is it's a unique message that you can link to direct from a log or something like that.
Yeah, and that brings up another good point, too. And that's one thing, you know, I've done that with our podcast. I know Geek Boy has done that with our podcast. And I've done it with, you know, like the Podcaster podcast. But simply calling it the voicemail number, leaving a voicemail, that comes to us as an MP3. And we can post it right into our show. And I like doing that because that allows me to share the find. In my own words, I think that was as far as these tools that we're going to talk about tonight, for me, I think that is one of my favorite tools to share the find. And well, we talked a little bit about audio, and udders can do video too, and still pictures. But the next thing that we have found too is that you can use either a service called Quick or YouTube. And the cool thing about Quick is, well, like YouTube, I mean, I'm sure everyone's familiar with YouTube. And Montu has posted some stuff to us about, you know, some of their times that they do teaching and stuff for geocaching. But YouTube, you know, you take a video, you upload it, and you can play it like that. The cool thing about Quick is if you have the correct device, the correct cell phone, you can actually do a live video stream with it. And so the cool thing about that is, say you are going on a first to find hunt, you could, use Twitter, which we will talk about here in a second, but you could use Twitter and you could say, hey, everybody, I'm going on a first to find hunt. Here's the link to my Quick. And you can show live your first to find finding it. Or, you know, even just finding the cache, or if it's an epic cache, or you're, you know, a milestone, you can share it live with everybody, and that's a really cool thing.
If you're going to use something like Quick, though, you have to have a phone that supports it, and make sure that you have an unlimited data plan, because the data usage is going to skyrocket really fast. But
true.
It is very, very cool.
It is very cool, and it's still a little bit choppy depending on your speed of your network and stuff like that. And like you said, you know, there are, I think, so far only a few different phones that will actually support it. I was just informed through our chat room that Quick automatically tweets the link if you choose to set it up that way. So when it starts, it tweets. So that, you know, that's even better because you don't even need to. You can just start up Quick and go. So, I like I said, I don't have a phone that does that. Daryl, have you ever, I know that you, not necessarily use Quick, but I know that you've taken your camera out in the field before, correct? Your actual video camera.
Yeah, I've actually only done that a couple of times, and I've always done that specifically to send to Ice and Rye. And I'm sure if anyone wants to put together a package, he'd be more than happy to drop it in the video zine for you. But YouTube is a great way to share those little quick clips that you don't necessarily have enough to put together like a full package, or even if you have a full package that you just wanted to put together and post yourself and point your friends or, you know, fellow cashers to. You know, we have a friend of ours who picked up one of those great little flip cameras and just posts little clips off of that right to YouTube. But you can use even your cell phone and just do some cool, quick clips. You know, hey, look, you know, so-and-so fell in the dirt.
True. And one of the things that I, as we were talking here about the video sites and Udders and Flickr, it just reminded me of a service that we actually use in with the Geocaching Podcast, but it's Dropio, which is Drop.io. And you can do several things with that. You can upload audio, you can call in audio, you can post pictures, you can post video. I don't know if you'd want to do it maybe, you know, as far as for one single cache. I don't know if you'd want to create a drop for every cache that you went to. That'd be kind of tedious, but you could create like a geocaching drop, and you could upload your audio from there, and you could share that, and that actually allows you to tweet every time that that has been changed too. So I would.
Well, and the other cool thing about doing it that way is if you were to set up, let's say, a trip where you wanted to fill in all your friends, you can actually set that up to do like an instant podcast too, where every time you drop an audio file or a video file in there, it gives you the RSS feed that you could then use to plug into your podcatcher, whether it's iTunes or whatever, and automatically get those updates downloaded. So that would be a great way to keep people up to date on your caching trips.
That would be great. I know we used it not for caching trips, for our road trip this summer. I posted a bunch of pictures up there and sent the link to my family so that they could see pictures of our trip. And again, that's 100 megs for free. Very, very easy to sign up. No email, no nothing. You just get a quick what they call drop. And we use it all the time here at the podcast to pass audio back and forth and video and different ideas and stuff like that. So it's definitely worth checking that out. And again, that's Dropio, Drop.io. And so, yeah, and so with that, we're going to move on to Twitter. And I know everyone, well, at least us three hosts, use that for lots of things. We at the podcast have a Twitter, which is basically a microblog. And there are other clones out there like that. And the cool thing about Twitter is, again, most of these services that we're talking about tie in with the Twitter API, which will allow you to, as maybe an Udders is posted or a Quick is posted, it will Twitter saying that you've updated, or you've done something with this service. So that's another good way to stay informed. Daryl Montu, do you use that a lot when you're caching? And if so, how do you do it? You know, what do you post? What do you do?
Well, I use it a little bit. I'm still getting used to that one. I probably don't use it as much as I should, but I know I was definitely posting in there, letting friends and family know what was going on with the hurricanes that we've been dodging like crazy down here. Sorry for sending Ike your way, by the way.
Hey,
but
that's all right. We needed the rain. Before that, our lawn was completely dry, so we needed it.
Yeah, but that was how we were primarily using it, was just getting the word out that, yeah, we're okay, but, this storm missed us, or this storm dumped a lot of rain, but no wind or no heavy damage or anything like that. Since right now we're really not doing that much caching because of the heat, I haven't really used it as far as the caching is concerned, except that one find that we had.
Well, one of the really cool ways that I've heard to use Twitter when caching is set up an account that's private and have a few of your friends subscribe. And every time you go to a cache, you go just going to cache, blah, okay? Found cache, blah. And that way, every time you've gone to from a cache, if for whatever reason you disappear, they'll know what the last cache was that you were at or attempted. And it gives them something to pass along to a rescue party or whatever if you happen to go missing. So it's not as good as having one of the like locator devices, but it gives you a great cheap way to do that if you've already got the cell phone with either text messaging or web access.
That's true. And I find that I kind of forget as I'm caching, well, at least right now, since I don't have a I don't have a cell phone currently, so I can't Twitter via the cell phone. I have to rely on the web or my iPod Touch. So for me, when I'm caching, it doesn't quite play into effect just because I don't have the access to do it as much as I would if I, you know, had a cell phone. So I find myself not using that quite as much as I used to, as far as when I went caching and stuff like that, just because I no longer have a cell phone. So the next thing, one of the next tools we find is the forums. Like, say, for instance, the podcaster forums or local organization forums, etc. You find a lot of times people talk about the caches that they do in there, whether it be, you know, milestone caches or things like that. I don't use the forums for that. I use those type of things for getting ideas for caches, not necessarily sharing the find. How about you guys?
Well, it does give a great avenue, a great venue to talk about the caches. I've seen where in some of the forums they're critiquing different caches, saying what could be done to make a cache like this better. Personally, I try and stay away from those because I really don't like cutting somebody's idea for a cache down, because what might not look the best to me, you know, that might take that person a lot of hard work to get that cache looking that good as it was. So I feel, you know, hey, great hide, I enjoyed finding it, but I'm not about to cut it down. So I try and stay away from those. But, you know, when they're talking about great places to go caching, that definitely helps me out to figure out where I want to go versus where I might want to stay away from.
Yeah, really, to me, the forums are more of a method to get information on perhaps like the puzzle cache that you're trying to solve and having some difficulties with, or if we're trying to set up some group caching or maybe an event, because, you know, it's a great way to just have a select group of people who you might want to be going out caching with take a look at it.
Sure. And yeah, like I said, you know, for me, that's not necessarily about the find. I mean, I don't want to sort for a forum. I don't want to sort through forums and read a post about someone found this cache. For me, I'd rather see it on my Twitter stream, see it, you know, in the others, as opposed to forums. But yeah, forums, local forums, and we were just reminded of this in our chat room again. Regional forums are a great place to find and learn more about upcoming events in the area. Obviously, they have those listed on GC.com, but if you frequent the regional forums, you can get it. It's easier to find I would think it's easier to find the local events that are going to be in your area. Moving on.
Well, and there's those events that aren't necessarily listed either, like maybe just get together at the local coffee house. That's going to be, you know, let's all get together at 6 p.m. after work, and then we're going to go find a cache.
Sure, sure. And those type of things will be listed, obviously, in your forums, but not as an event cache. So yeah, regional forums, definitely check them out. Most places have regional forums. You can obviously Google search for your area and probably get a good idea of the regional forums. Now, moving on, the SMS and MMS, I would tend to say this is for more like close friends. Again, I don't use this. Daryl, Montu, do you? I don't, just because I don't have a cell phone, but do you guys use this?
Well, I've actually shut off my SMS completely because I was getting way too much spam on it. But no, you know, I really didn't use that all too much. You know, especially things like Twitter kind of replaced that for me. You know, if people want to get SMS messages through Twitter, you can actually sign up and receive those SMS messages. So I'll send the message to Twitter, which is the 140 character limit that SMS imposes. And that way it can go to a cell phone or anyone on their computer in any way that you pretty much want to get that message.
Montu, do you use SMS, MMS?
I have no idea what that even is.
All right, then.
So I guess the answer would be no.
I guess not. Steph and Dan from our chat room here says that they use SMS only usually for help when they're doing caching, you know, that calls for help type of thing. Like, say he was out caching, he could text his wife and get the help there. And so, yeah, that's usually what I guess.
Well, and
for
those who don't know, the SMS is a text messaging service that's pretty much common across every carrier and phone at this point. But the MMS is a new, I believe it's called multimedia service, which allows for, my understanding at least, is both audio, video, and photos. So you can actually send some rich messages to people rather than being limited to just that 140 characters of text.
Sure. Now, one of the last things that we came up with, and if you guys have other things that you want to put in, other ways that you guys do this, make sure to give us a call. We are live. We'd love to hear from our listeners live. 724-444-7444 is our number, and our ID is 7525. You don't even need to sign up for a TalkShoe account. You can just go ahead and give us a call and press star 8 to request a talk, and we'll get you on the show. Or you can just go ahead and text it in our chat room. But we love to hear you guys as, audio. Again, I'm an audio person. I like hearing audio. So we love hearing our listeners' voices. And again, if you're listening to this as a podcast, listen to it later on in the week, give us a call, 206-350-3GPS. We love to hear the way that you guys share the find with other people. So one of the last things that we've come up with here to share the find is blogging. Blogging is obviously a fairly old thing now compared to the internet. It's fairly old. There are lots of different services like Blogger or LiveJournal, WordPress, etc. That will allow you to blog. And I know that back when I used to have a LiveJournal, just for our caching adventures. And I would post, this week when we hit these three caches, stuff like that. Right now, I find with my blog, I post a lot of some that we went caching. I may post the GC numbers. I may not. It just depends on the find. Daryl, I know you are a pretty big blogger. You tend to blog stuff about caching. Do you blog your finds too?
Well, typically I don't blog like an individual find, but I'll blog about a day of finding. Or maybe if I do have one find that really stuck out as a great location or something, I'd blog about that. But typically, most of what I blog is more about the general sense, not so much of the finds. But the nice thing about a blog is that you can combine all of these assets, like photos, video, and audio, into something that you can easily present to the world.
Sure, and I find that, like I said, if it's a good cache, I may list the caches that we hit. I may just say we have, we found three. I tend to do that again on Twitter, because it's not necessarily about people aren't necessarily interested in what caches that I found, as far as they just that I found more caches. So I tend not to so much blog about which caches that I do, unless it's like a good story behind it, like I almost broke my finger or whatever. So yeah, I did.
Yeah, but it's also
time.
Good to kind of describe the method of planning, get some ideas out there for when you're doing those big caching trips. And you were doing that on your power caching run for your birthday.
I did that. I posted that, those type of things. And I tried to send an audio, do updates. Another thing that I've done too is on our road trip blog, I posted a video explaining how I was handling the data, stuff like that, stuff that's going to matter to people about caching. I will post, if I've taken a picture at a certain cache, I may post that in my blog and then link to the cache page, just because it is a story behind that. I usually leave a story about how we found it if it's a good cache. So if there's something more than just the GC numbers, I'll go ahead and do that. But yeah, usually for blogging, I don't necessarily blog each cache, but I know that there are people who do. Montu has says he's never blogged, never used it, so I won't even ask him if he if he does.
Well, one of the things about blogging is it does lend itself very well to that journal slash diary type of writing. So if you're going on a trip, it's a perfect tool to kind of keep a track of, you know, hey, today we started off here, hit these caches, and ended up here, you know, and it's just kind of a nice thing to look back on. You know, if you're into like scrapbooking, it's a good resource, you know, 6 months down the road when you finally start putting together that scrapbook too.
Sure. And another good thing is with services like Twitter feed, they can read an RSS feed, and anytime that it's updated, it will post to your Twitter. And so if you post a blog, it'll even Twitter then. So again, tying all the services back together. So those are the things that we've come up with as far as sharing the finds. We'd, you know, love to have you each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our ID is 7525. You can sign on to the TalkShoe web services at TalkShoe.com, or go to our show notes, which can be found at geocachingpodcast.info, where all of our links to the past show notes and audio can be found. Again, you can call us at 206-350-3GPS anytime if you want to leave us a voicemail, and we'd love to hear from you guys. So join us next week, guys, on Tuesday, and have a good week and catch on.